Hey, it's Joyce. Every week, I have the chance to chat with an interesting, inspiring human and to share that conversation with you. Join me as I walk and talk with entrepreneurs, adventurers, and all sorts of people who are working hard to empower women and make the world a better place. Now listen, this is not some highly polished, formally produced podcast. It's just two humans out for a walk with the chance to learn from each other. So lace up your sneakers, head out the door, and join us.
Hey everyone, Joyce here. Welcome to today's Walk and Talk, where our guest is Barbara Hannah Grupperman. Barbara's a widely recognized expert on positive aging. She is the author of Love Your Age and The Best of Everything After 50, and the founder and editor of the, I think, relatively new Menopause Cheat Sheet, which you'll tell us about, and the host of the Gruff Talk podcast, where she focuses on how to age better, which I think we all need a whole lot of. So, Barbara, I have so many questions for you. Welcome, and thanks for being here today.
Oh, thank you, Joyce. I have to stop speed walking now. I have to, my heart rate's going up too high. I'm so happy to be here to talk with you and everyone who's tuning in and about one of my favorite things, which is moving your body. That is one of my favorite things in the world to do. So this is great. Thank you.
So let's start. Of course, I can't wait to hear a little bit about your running adventures and your passion for movement and encouraging movement. But I want to start with what you mean by positive aging. What does that phrase mean, and kind of how did you come to this work?
Oh, I know, personal experience, Joyce, definitely. When I turned 50, I'm 65 now. When I turned 50, like 15 years ago, I was really confused. I had just gone through menopause and I was going through what I call now the umpies. I was feeling a little lumpy, a little frumpy. I put on some postmenopausal weight and I was really grumpy about the whole thing. And so I call it the umpies. And I really didn't know what to do because, first of all, the whole idea of menopause was just like an untouchable still 15 years ago. It still is in so many ways, which is totally ridiculous because this is something more than half the world's population does experience. But, you know, it still was a taboo topic. And so there weren't enough resources for me to really understand what I was going through, both the short term, like hot flashes and the like, but also the long-term effects of menopause. So that was an experience that I had. And, you know, I'm a bit of a Girl Scout in this respect. I was going into my 50s. I had, just turned 50. I was coming out of menopause and I looked in the mirror and said, what does it mean? What is this? what do I do? And I was,
what's it all about?
Yeah, what is that? Exactly, Joyce? And I know this is so true for so many women, that I'm not alone. I'm not special in any way. But I did the research and there was nothing. And so that's when I wrote my first book, The Best of Everything After 50. And I gathered like some of the best experts in the world, took their advice. And anyway, it became a guidebook for myself to enter my 50s in a positive way. And also at that point, this is 2010 when my first book came out, and I was a lone voice in the wilderness, really, because at that point, people were still talking about anti-aging, aging. So there was nothing positive about it. It was all quite negative. It was like something you had to avoid. What do you do to avoid it? It's ridiculous. You can't avoid it. It is happening. Just like menopause does happen, you can't avoid it. It depends on when, of course, we're individuals. And just like with aging, no, we are. Be positive about it and just do everything you can to be the best age you are, whatever age that is. And that's my philosophy.
So, Barbara, so many questions. Where to start? Okay, I want to start with this, which is, I don't know if it's a function of the worlds that I live in and the work that I do, or my perception is accurate, but I feel like little bit by little bit, we are getting better. There is more information. There are more conversations happening around positive aging and menopause and all the things. Do you see that? You've been in this space, you know, for, I mean, I'm going to say you've been in this space for a really long time. It's 15 years, which is not so long in the grand scheme of things. But
it is,
is
though,
it getting better?
That is such a great question, Joyce. And the answer is yes, with both. Definitely yes. I feel that in many ways, menopause is having a moment. There are more companies that are run mostly by women, which is really great, that are addressing the needs of women in menopause. There are more resources. You mentioned Menopause Cheat Sheet. Thank you. That's my free newsletter that I started in partnership with a doctor, an endocrinologist and menopause expert, Dr. Margaret Nachtigall. She's the medical director of Menopause Cheat Sheet. And I did start that during the pandemic in April 2020. And doing very, very well because it's a resource. We don't sell anything. We just give the right information, the newest research. Often Dr. Margaret will analyze it and kind of put it into layman terms. So that's really good news. Menopause is having a moment. It is coming out of the closet, but we have a long way to go. With regards to aging, well, let's put it this way. There's not been a sea change, but it is infinitely better than it was when my first book came out. No question. You don't see anti-aging like we did. In fact, one of the top editors, she's no longer at Allure, but she was the editor-in-chief of Allure magazine about, I want to say 4 years ago, maybe five. Her name is Michelle Lee. She banned all use of the term anti-aging from the pages of Allure. Other publications followed suit because they saw, oh, this is like a hot trend, and we know how the media is. They want to jump on a hot trend. So again, I don't see a sea change that I would like to see in my lifetime, but I doubt that's going to happen. But it is so much better. We're seeing models that are older. We're just seeing a more positive view of aging. And that's really important for all of us who are aging. And this does, you know, men also experience the negativity of aging, the ageism in the workplace. I mean, that could be a whole podcast in and of itself about the ageism that continues in the workplace. But I do see improvements. And I just am, in my own little way, Joyce, in like all the content that I produce and throw out there, I hope I'm doing in my own little way, really creating a positive experience, especially for women.
So do you have an opinion on the new Sports Illustrated bathing suit edition, swimsuit edition? And they featured Elon Musk's mother. I'm blanking on her first name.
May.
But I think she's in May. Thank you. Gosh, it just flew out of my, the brain, the aging brain.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it. The menopausal, right? First it's the menopausal brain, and then it's the aging brain. It's all real, everyone. It's
indeed.
Okay.
So for anybody who isn't aware, Sports Illustrated included May Musk in this year's swimwear edition, and I believe she's
okay,
in her early 70s.
We can get that. Yeah, we can get through that particular question as really quickly, because I'm also a feminist. I know we don't. This is not a political statement by any means, but I just don't appreciate any media taking advantage. I don't know if that's the best way to put it. Of women's bodies in any way. So I'm not a fan of Sports Illustrated. I read that she was on the cover. I think that's great for her, great for her career, great for women who are older. Yeah. But she's also, I have to be honest, Joyce, she's not the reality. She's like model thin. She's May Musk. She's rich. She's got a who knows what going on behind the scenes. I don't know. Very mixed feelings about that one. But there you have it.
Right. So that's sort of my question. And you said we could dispense with this one quickly. But I actually think it's worth a minute of conversation around this, right? Because I feel the same way. On the one hand, isn't this great for the first time sports illustrator that's so exploitive is now including a variety of age, or at least including an older woman? On the other hand, is that just perpetuating this kind of not attainable for most of us kind of standard? So I really, yeah. I'm right there with you. Like, I have really mixed feelings about it. Like, is this a good thing or a bad thing? I can't quite figure it out.
You know what I do with things like that, that are a thing and are getting media attention, and it could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. And you could, like, you know, Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye says on one hand, on the other hand, and you could go back and forth with yourself having this debate. And I think it's both. I think it's a not good thing because it does perpetuate stereotypes. I mean, why not? I don't know. I have mixed feelings, and it actually gets a rise in me. So I have a feeling that the side of me that is more displeased with it is the bigger side, I think. But I think that this is, you bring up a very good point, and I think anyone tuning in should really kind of think about these things and think about, how do you feel about it? You know, how do you feel about this? Show of support, I guess, is what Sports Illustrated is doing of older women. But again, look, just like any cover of Sports Illustrated, you know, the annual swimsuit, they're never reality.
Right.
So on that, you know, as Tevye would say, on that hand, you know, you could say, well, you know, she's just like the ideal of an older woman. Okay, because that's what they do. Just like with last year, I forget who was on last year, I really don't keep track, but whoever was a model, was beautiful, was perfect, and, you know, she was like the ideal in the eyes of the editors of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I'm so conflicted over this for all these reasons.
Yeah, but
none of them, right?
Reality. Exactly.
Right. So is it good for us to have the representation of an ideal of a woman in her 70s? Or, gosh, can we all just take a breath and be ourselves? I'm really not sure. All right.
Moving down. Well, you know, here's the thing. There's a very interesting point to be made here, Joyce, I think. If we want to kind of, we're diving in a little deeper, is that, okay, this is again, what I say is obviously just what I think. No, I'm not representing anyone but myself. So I feel when women are younger, like my daughters, I have two, they're both in their 20s, mid-20s, and even when they were younger than now, they would aspire to maybe look like a model or an actress who was talking about a product or something, or aspire to dress like her or have the life that she leads, that she's showing on Instagram. And then as we get older, I feel women in my age group are no longer aspiring. However, we are inspired. I am very inspired by women who are out there doing things, just everyday women I'm talking about, who are doing things, helping their communities, just whatever they're doing in a positive way. Those women inspire me to just do better and kind of think of new things. And that's who I look to for my inspiration. I don't aspire to be anyone. I'm happy with me. I'm not perfect, but I'm happy with me. So that's the difference I see that age brings. It's a bit of wisdom. Like when you know the difference, like I don't want to be like her. So circling back now to Mae Musk and the cover, well, okay, do any of us aspire to be Mae Musk? well, she does have a lot of money. Maybe, but I mean, then we can look at her and say, you know what? She is inspirational. She takes good care of herself. She is in her 70s. I forget the exact age. But you know, she could be an inspiration to us. We may not want to look like her, but we could see that she has taken steps in her life to be healthy and look good at her age. So that's where I'll leave that discussion about Mae Musk.
Barbara, I love this idea of transitioning from aspirational to inspirational and embracing hopefully that shift as we become more fully ourselves, as we kind of step into, I don't know, the second half of our life, or as my dear friend Marna once said, as we step onto the back nine, which I didn't really appreciate it when she said it, but it has stayed with me for years. You talk in your book around the idea, and interestingly, this is something that comes up on our walk and talks very often with my guests, and that is this idea of taking a step and the power of taking that one step. I do think that it becomes kind of overwhelming when you look at the challenges or making changes in your life or whatever that is, and the reminder that it's all about incremental changes and the first step. Can you talk a little bit about your thoughts on that?
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, the subtitle of my last book, you know, it's called Love Your Age, is the small step solution to a better, longer, happier life. And I do believe in that because, oh my gosh, we can get so overwhelmed. We can decide, I can't do this. I can't do this. So I'm going to put the proverbial blanket over my head now and stay there. And that's what really so many people do. And that's a shame because it doesn't have to be that way. You can just start with that first step. And Joyce, I give you so much credit. What you're doing with this community and encouraging people, even if it's just once a week when they tune in to listen to your live podcast, is amazing. You're saying you can just put one foot in front of the other and it will change your life. In fact, in my book, which you referenced in the beginning, I give full credit to Jeff Galloway, who is the founder of the Run, Walk, Run program that's done by hundreds of thousands of people around the world. I referenced my menopause experience earlier, and you know, I hadn't been doing anything. I wasn't doing anything for myself. I wasn't sleeping enough. I had children, a husband, and work, and travel, and community, and everything that a good life offers. But women out there, does that leave any time for you? No, it doesn't. So I had to carve out that time. And I decided, because my daughter encouraged me for some very strange reason, to run in the New York City Marathon. And meanwhile, I wasn't even a runner. I wasn't even walking. I wasn't doing anything, as I said. So I decided at that moment to put one foot in front of the other. I started with walking, short distance. They got longer. I added a little running in, running and walking. You know, and that's how my journey to positive aging really began. So now I'm training for my 15th New York City Marathon, which is in November. But I want to make sure everyone understands, you don't have to run a marathon. In fact, you don't have to run. Walking is a perfectly amazing one foot in front of the other movement to do that'll help you. Now, here's what else happened. And this is why I didn't get overwhelmed. Once I started putting one foot in front of the other, and I started adding running to my walking, because it just worked for me. I just felt, I love running, and I still do run walk. I then started sleeping better. Mm-hmm. I started eating better because I wanted to be a more powerful runner. And I just said, well, I don't feel good when I eat this crappy food, you know, processed food. I'm going to eat whole foods. I'm going to eat better. And so all of these new healthy habits fell into place organically, very naturally, because of that one, what I call, what I do call, very lovingly, I call the one habit to rule them all, you know, take on the Hobbit stories, the one habit to rule them all. And that, if you, everyone, can find that one thing, in this case, it might be walking, and really focus on that, you'll see other healthy habits follow.
That's so important and something that we talk about. And it's beautiful when you see people experience that. And so frustrating when you see people who sort of don't, to your point, kind of don't give that a chance, if that makes any sense. So there's so many media messages out there. You got to sleep better. You got to eat better. You got to move more. You got to do all the things. When exactly to your point, so often, if you just choose one, the others start to kind of, there's a little bit of a cascade effect, I guess I would call it.
That's right.
Talking just for a moment about food, for me and what I see is it's not that necessarily that, okay, now I've committed to running a marathon, so I'm going to force myself to eat better. It's that when you're a little bit more in tune with your body and moving your body, your body's asking for different things, and you're more aware and able to hear those cues.
That's correct. That's absolutely right. And I always like to point out that we are all different people. Our physical makeup is different. Our sizes, our shapes, our ages, there are some basic nutritional needs, of course. I'm really big on bone health, Joyce, as you probably know.
Yes.
I really always like to put in a few words about vitamin D and making sure that you eat calcium-rich foods, because one of the things that does happen when we go through menopause, estrogen levels drop, which does happen. It's not maybe. This does happen to women. Bone loss happens, and unless we do something about it, it can accelerate, and you don't want to fall and fracture, which could lead to a whole host of issues. So I also want to encourage people to not only walk, like what we're doing now, or maybe run, up to you, or bike, whatever, but also strength training. This is essential to keeping your bones strong.
Well, so as everybody in my world knows, I'm a big walker. I occasionally run, and I love to run really short distances. And I look at people like you who take on the challenge of a marathon, and I think, I just could never. And it's not that
you could.
Right,
I would have stopped you. You can, because I am so slow and it is so hard. And do not think for a minute that I would like every moment is a joyful moment. It isn't. And that's when it becomes mental. It's all about how much can my brain control my body getting to that finish line. And it is so much fun when you get over that finish line and you get a medal. I run for medals.
Well, around here in 99 Walks, people walk for bracelets. So
yes, I
we
know.
Get it for
so
sure.
Cool.
But
yes, so great.
But the other piece of my fitness routine really is I love to pick up and put down heavy things, and I'm forever encouraging women to resistance and weight train. What do you think stands in the way of so many women feeling comfortable or inspired to do that? Because I'm on that bandwagon right beside you on the power of that kind of movement to help our bone strength.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you are, Joyce, because, you know, you do have a powerful platform here. And I so appreciate your encouraging women, especially women, to incorporate strength training. Now, listen, everyone, This is really important. And this is what I figured out very early on and what I continue to do. I've done a lot of videos about it. You don't have to go to a gym, but if you want to go to the gym, you know, go for it. You don't have to. It's, you don't have to spend any money, except maybe if you want a yoga mat, up to you. And you don't even need like little dumbbells or hand weights. You could do this all with your own body. I do a routine that takes me about 15, 20 minutes. That's squats and push-ups. And my all-time favorite exercise, because it really strengthens every part of your body. And anybody who's listening and who knows me already, what's my favorite? It's the plank. It is that plank. And you can do these anywhere, anytime you darn please. Now, I'm a writer, as you know, and I'll very often be at my desk, and maybe I've gone for a run or a walk in the morning, but then during the day, like every half hour, I'll get up and walk around. And then sometimes I'll just get down on the floor and do a couple of push-ups or a 1 minute plank or a couple of squats.
We incorporate so many of those movements into the 99 Walks walking classes. And I want to focus for a moment, because clearly we share a passion around this, on the squat, right? So
yeah. And well, I have a tip about that. But go ahead, ask the question, Joyce.
It's not even a question. I'm going to say something and hopefully you will agree with me. So for all of the women out there, and our community is mostly women, who think, I can't squat because I see the guys in the gym squatting with, you know, 100 and 300 pounds on their back. So squatting is not for me. What I always say to people is, if you sit down and you stand up, you are doing a squat, and you need to train that and strengthen that throughout your entire life. Yes?
Oh, yes. And here is a tip, which I got from an excellent expert back 15 years ago, and then I continue to do today. And by the way, I do have low bone density, because most of us do when we go through menopause, and if you haven't been doing anything, and I have been able to stabilize that, so it has not turned into full-fledged osteoporosis in all these 15 years by doing these three exercises. And, you know, I incorporate some other things from time to time, too. But basically, if you could picture this, everyone, this is the tip I got from the expert. So stand up straight. Put your legs as far apart as you can comfortably. Turn your toes out. And then put your, I'm going to use the PG word, seat, your seat, as far out as you can as you lower. You don't want any weight put on your knees, because knees and our joints can get a little tricky as we get older. The more that you do strength training and build the muscle around our bones and joints, the better they will be as you get older. That's just a fact. So try the squat in that way. Now, this is one occasion where I do like to have free weights, because I like to do squats holding like an 8 pound or a 9 pound in either hand, like hoisted up on my shoulder as I go down. That just adds to the benefit of doing the squat. But if you can picture, and also you could just look for me on YouTube, Barbara Hannah Grufferman. They're up there. I haven't changed them. They're a few years old, because why create new ones? I still am doing them exactly as I show in the video. And if you just search, you'll be able to see them and how to do them properly.
Well, Barbara, this has been really fun, and I know we could continue talking for another half hour. There's so much.
Oh, absolutely. So much.
Your work and your mission and ours. We appreciate everyone joining us and listening in today, sharing and connecting. This community with experts and advocates like Barbara is one of my biggest joys in the work that I do. We will be including in the show notes all of the links to the places to find Barbara's content, her new podcast, which we didn't even get a chance to talk about, Gruff Talk, but it will be they're linked, and hopefully we will have the opportunity to walk and talk again, Barbara. Thank you again.
Oh, I would love it. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you for joining us for today's Walk and Talk. Catch new episodes featuring inspiring guests every week in the 99 Walks app and all the places podcasts live. Until then, I wish you happy trails.